Well, what's moving the body is muscles. Muscles do two things. They move bones and they stabilize joints. And when muscles don't work properly, aka they don't stabilize joints, then the result is inflammation. And inflammation is actually what is causing people pain. And once a person gets into that inflammatory process, it's really difficult.
Welcome to Thriving with Diabetes, the podcast where we empower people with type 2 diabetes to live their best lives. I am your host, Gamden, a holistic wellness coach, helping people overcome challenges related to type 2 diabetes. I believe that with the correct knowledge, support, and mindset, you can manage your condition effectively and lead a fulfilling life. In today's episode of Thriving with Diabetes podcast, we are talking about muscle activation and pain relief. We have a special guest with us today, Yogi Aaron, a master yoga teacher and muscle specialist. Yogi Aaron challenges conventional stretching and flexibility, sharing insights on how these practices may do more harm than good. We will explore the power of muscle activation, its role in achieving a pain-free life, and how it can be a valuable tool for people managing diabetes. I'm excited to have our special guest with me today, Yogi Aaron. As you know, that our podcast is all about empowering people with type 2 diabetes to lead healthier and more fulfilling lives. And having experts on our show like Yogi helps us achieve that goal. It is always inspiring to learn about our guests' perspectives and experiences. Before we dive into our discussion today, I would love for Yogi to introduce himself, share some background about him and what he does. So without further ado, I will hand it over to Yogi Aaron to introduce himself. Yogi, welcome to Thriving with Diabetes podcast.
Thank you so much for having me on the show, Gamden, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well.
So thank you so much for that heartfelt message. I, as you mentioned, my name is Yogi Aaron. I'm a person who practices yoga. I've been doing yoga for more than 30 years and teaching. And I got into yoga really to stay healthy, stay fit, stay young. I'm a very athletic, mobile kind of person. As I've gotten older, I love to keep up with hiking and outdoor adventures and many things. And I just found that as I was doing a lot of yoga, I was starting to experience more and more chronic pain in my body. And so I actually ended up in the emergency room of a hospital with an orthopedic surgeon saying to me that I was going to need a spinal fusion in my lower back. I then started to study human movement, the movement of the body, biomechanics, and that kind of journey took me into muscle activation. And so through muscle activation, I not only regained my health and fitness level, but also regained a renewed passion for life and also a passion to see others live their best life. And I love that you and I share very similar interests in that we know that people, you know, can live their best life with the right tools, with the right knowledge. And so that's what I've made up my mission to do, is to help others live their best pain-free life.
Brilliant. Thank you for sharing this very interesting and inspiring story. So it was like a response to your own challenges that led you to become like a pain-free specialist, and you focus on muscle activation. You have I have read some of your information on your website, and you have introduced a concept in yoga called applied yoga anatomy and muscle activation. So can you explain the core principles of yoga anatomy and muscle activation, and how they differ from traditional yoga practices?
Sure. I think I'm going to answer your second question first, that a lot of yoga, traditional yoga teachers teach stretching as a pathway into yoga. And so there's a couple of things there to unpack, but one of them is that nowhere in the yoga tradition does it mention the need to stretch. You know, maybe stretch the mind, maybe that's a little bit of a leap, but there's nowhere in the yoga tradition where we talk about the need to stretch or how much flexibility you have. Now, why there's so much emphasis on stretching and flexibility, that's a conversation in and of itself. But so that's first of all. Second of all, what I discovered is that yoga teachers are lacking in so much knowledge. And this knowledge appears, this kind of lack of knowledge appears when, say, for example, I don't actually know if this is true, but I'm going to use you as an example. You go to yoga class, Gemden, and you're trying to bend forward. The teacher says, bend forward, bring your hands to the floor so we can stretch the hamstrings and stretch the back. And so, Gemden, you can't touch the floor. Maybe you can't even bring your hands to your knees. And the teacher comes up to you and goes, oh, Gemden, we need to loosen your hamstrings up. You've got tight hamstrings and you've got a tight back. And that's just biomechanically, while it's true you have a tight back, that's not true that you should be trying to stretch it. It's actually the wrong thing to do. What we need to do is improve the muscles in the front of the body, improve your core muscles' ability to contract. And so this comes to the core of applied yoga anatomy and muscle activation. First of all, it's understanding anatomy, what anatomically is actually going on. And again, this is just information that a lot of people are lacking. They don't understand how the body is supposed to work and what is actually moving the body. Well, what's moving the body is muscles. Muscles do two things. They move bones and they stabilize joints. And when muscles don't work properly, aka they don't stabilize joints, then the result is inflammation. And inflammation is actually what is causing people pain. And once a person gets into that inflammatory process, it's really difficult to get out of that pain process. That's why you see so many people, when they go on a pain journey, it actually starts to escalate with age. You don't see people very seldom going back. You don't see that 70-year-old person, you know, running down the street going, well, you know, I just got over my pain. No, they end up having to take more medication. They have to do more physio. They have to do more things. So it's very seldom that people turn that pain cycle around. With muscle activation, which is the other part of a yama, is that then once we start to understand, well, I have pain in my back. Why is that? Well, probably because the muscles that are supporting my trunk and spine are not activated properly. So now with the knowledge of what those muscles are, I can start to actually go in and make sure that those muscles are working properly and get out of that pain cycle. One of the things that's important to understand too is that pain in the body is like the check engine light of the car. So, you know, in our culture, we kind of have this no pain, no gain kind of attitude, or we have this attitude of, well, I'm just going to ignore the pain. You know, I'm just going to put my mind somewhere else. And you can do that. I was very good at doing that. You know, some people use this idea of my pain tolerance level is really high. You know, and so a lot of us are good at ignoring our pain, but ignoring your pain is like ignoring the light that comes on in your car saying, you know, service needed, get your engine checked. And if you keep doing that, if you keep ignoring it, one day the car is just going to stop working. And we see this evidence of this with a lot of people. There are so many people, their bodies just stop working. And it's a real tragedy because it doesn't have to be like that. And even when they get to that point where their bodies stop working, we can still flip the script and get the body to start actually doing what it's supposed to do.
Brilliant. Very interesting information. You have mentioned two key points here. Is we need to know how our body functions. And the second one, when there is a pain, we need to pay attention to it. And we cannot neglect mm-hmm. that pain. This will lead us to the next part of this episode. I found that you have mentioned, I'm referring to your website. You have mentioned the contrast between stretching and muscle activation. So they are not the mm-hmm. same, as you mentioned. So could you tell us the potential drawbacks of traditional stretching practices and mm-hmm. how muscle activation can offer a more effective alternative? I know you touched a little bit on this.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's look at the example I was giving earlier. If you, Gamden, went to a yoga class and couldn't touch your toes and you could barely reach your knees, and the teacher says, oh, we need to stretch your hamstrings. So the teacher might, you know, give you a strap or something to pull yourself forward passively, or the teacher might come up and try to actually push you to go, you know, further to quote unquote stretch your hamstrings. So there's a couple of things going on, but the first thing I want to say is that muscle tightness is a protective mechanism of the body. And that's a really important idea, because in the world of yoga, we talk so much about the idea that we're supposed to honor our bodies, we're supposed to respect our bodies, we're supposed to listen to our bodies, and yet so many teachers really inherently are telling their students to violate their body's own protective mechanism. So the tightness is happening because the body senses instability. The body doesn't feel safe. That's a good word to use. The body doesn't feel safe. And so it's saying, nope, don't want to go there. And so in the case of you, if you're like trying to reach your toes, and you can barely get your hands to your knees, your body's saying, I don't feel safe to go into this range of motion. So the absolute, from that, just that perspective alone, the absolute wrong thing to do then is to violate your body's own protective mechanisms. I don't think we like to feel violated ourselves, so why are we violating our body? So that's one important point. And the second point is that your body is saying, no, I can only go here. And so that's where there's accountability. That's where there's safety. That's where your body feels safe. If you start to go beyond that place where your body feels safe and you push your body beyond that place, you now create instability. You're now opening up this range of motion where there's no accountability, where there's no safety, where there's no stability. And so this goes to the third point, that we need to address the instability. We need to address, why is the body tightening up? Well, the body's tightening up because it doesn't feel safe. The muscles aren't working properly. So we need to get the muscles working properly. So in your case, I don't know if it's true or not, if you're really tight, but I'm just going on that point, that if we go and use the example, what we can see, if you can't reach your hands past your knees, what we can actually start to see, as I mentioned earlier, your core muscles are not contracting properly. They're not shortening properly. So when you bend forward, your muscles are not contracting, they're not shortening. So what we need to do then is activate the muscles of the core and get those muscles working. We need to also activate the quads, and the hamstrings are tightening up because the quads, the muscles in the front of the body, are not shortening. So what separates what I do or what I'm teaching in the Ayama approach, the Applied Yoga Anatomy and Muscle Activation approach, that's different from what other teachers are doing, is I'm saying instead of focusing on stretching, let's focus on activating the muscles in the movement that we're wanting to do. So in this case, if you're folding forward, we're focusing more on what's happening in the front body. But likewise, if I was going backwards, we wouldn't focus on the muscles in the front body. We would focus on the muscles in the back body.
Brilliant. Thank you for sharing these great insights. Can I flip it a little bit, stretching is like dealing with symptoms, and muscle activation is the solution. Is this term right?
You said it perfectly, and I just want to kind of say one other thing about that stretching, there is no doubt, generally speaking, that stretching feels good. You know, a lot of people stretch. If you ask most yoga teachers, actually, why do you stretch? Like, why do you think we should stretch? The biggest answer that you would get is because it makes you feel good. And that's not a reason to do anything in life. You know, there's a lot of things that make you feel good that you should not do. And so, you know, just because you can doesn't mean you should. And so stretching is a temporary solution. It's like if you have one person used this analogy, a dehydration headache, meaning like you've got a headache because you haven't had enough fluid or water. So we take an aspirin, but we haven't dealt with the problem. So we need to deal with the problem. The problem is instability. The tightness is the result of the instability. So if you're just dealing with the tightness, you're never dealing with the actual problem. But more than that, you're actually exacerbating the problem. You're making the real problem worse because the body is never going to regain that instability or regain that stability. Sorry.
You will make me doubt my routine. I do some stretching. Now, anyone who is listening to us will start thinking about, am I doing what I'm doing right now, right?
Yes.
So you opened my mind for possibilities to look at this concept of dealing with stretching or muscle activation. So I don't want to jump on the this part to another one. Is there an age or there is a age limit to muscle activation is like, we know when you are younger, you can stretch or activate your muscle. Is it the same mm-hmm. for someone 50 and over? This is the first question. And the second question, I think we missed this question. We needed to start to set the foundation for this episode is, was what causes or cause muscle pain or muscles are not functioning properly, and what cause back pain. So before mm-hmm. you answer about the age limit, maybe you can start with the causes.
Well, I'm going to answer the age limit first, because there is no age requirements. I mean, the reason why, as we start to get older, a lot of people, you know, I'm 51, and I remember when I started turning 38, 39, 40, I was like, my body's changing. And from a muscle standpoint, from a neuromuscular standpoint, age only happens because there's a deterioration in the communication system between the brain and the muscles. Enter muscle activation. So muscle activation is the solution, because muscle activation keeps reinforcing that communication system between the brain and the muscles constantly. So it's actually improving that communication system. And what I can honestly tell you is there's, you know, I feel stronger in my body than I ever have. Now, I do work out a little bit, but most of my workout is about reinforcing that communication system, strengthening that neuromuscular communication. So from that perspective, yes. Now, you asked me about what is causing the pain. And how can we have a solution? And you referred to like lower back pain. So why is there pain there? Well, I was mentioning earlier that the pain is the result of inflammation. And so inflammation is caused by a few things, but mainly stress. And it's important that people understand that stress can come from many different ways. I mean, you know, you constantly hear people talking about like how stressed they are just from life. There's so many world events going on right now. So many things going on. That's a stress. And that's going to have a negative effect on the body. And that's going to create inflammation. We can eat bad food. You know, I'm sure you've talked a lot about sugar on your show and some of the effects, the negative effects and the inflammatory effects. In fact, there's some people that say if we could just eliminate sugar, specifically white sugar, from our diets, we would be just, you know, so much healthier as a population, as people. So that's inflammation. There's also inflammation, like if you're moving around, if you're exercising, if you're walking, even like you hear enormous reports of people, which I think some of your listeners will relate to. Maybe they go out shopping and they're walking and they have to sit down because they're in pain. Well, again, there's stress in the joints. And so that inflammation starts to have a negative impact on the communication system between the brain and the muscles. So the muscles lose their ability to contract on demand and stabilize joints. So when we have pain in our backs, for example, it's a sign that there's an instability going on, that the muscles surrounding the vertebrae, the muscles that are stabilizing the trunk and spine, are not working properly. So what we need to do then is get those muscles working. And that comes in with muscle activation. The really cool thing about muscle activation that I've consistently experienced in my own body, but have also seen with other people, is that as soon as we get those muscles working properly, the inflammatory process almost stops immediately, because the joints are stable, the stress cycle stops. If the stress cycle stops, the inflammatory process stops. And if the inflammatory process stops, we get out of pain. So that's why this practice kind of works almost instantaneously for people. And I just wanted to say one more thing, because you mentioned like you have your routine, which involves stretching. You know, part of that is great. I mean, part of staying young, if you want to use that word, or staying healthy, is to keep moving. We need to keep moving. So, you know, there's a lot of people that do feel better when they, quote unquote, go through a stretching routine or go through a yoga routine. It does make you feel better because you're moving. There's endorphins, there's other hormones, enzymes being released, and that all makes you feel good, and that's a good thing. You know, and we're also getting circulation happening. All we need to do is just tweak the routine a little bit so that you start to feel less tight in your body and more stable. And when you have stability, you have all the mobility and really the health that you could want in your body.
Brilliant. Thank you for sharing this helpful information. I need to look at some or watch some of your videos to judge what if I'm what I'm doing is right or not. This is going to be very yes. helpful. I wanted to if you can share some practical. I'm not sure if this is going to be applicable now. I was going to ask you for some practical application of your techniques.
Yeah, sure. So you asked about back pain. I can tell you at least one thing you can do for your back pain, and that's to get your back muscles working properly. And a really, you know, I often get asked, what's the number one pose I should do or muscle activation? If I only had one bullet, you know, what am I going to do? So the one that you can do is a pose called, sometimes it's called Superman pose. The Sanskrit word is Shalabhasana or locust pose. And it's just one where you come onto your stomach and you lift your legs and your chest off the floor as much as you can. If some people are in pain, just lift up like about half an inch. You know, just give me a quarter of an inch. And if you bring your hands to your lower back, when you do that, one of the things you'll feel is the back muscles contracting, the back muscles shortening. And that's a very positive thing. And so you're doing a couple of things in this pose, but the most important thing you're doing is starting to reestablish that neuromuscular connection. I love Shalabhasana, I love Superman pose, because it just gets into so many muscles. There's so many muscles there, your quadratus lumborum, your multifidus, your longissimus, even iliocostalis, and then of course you have your glutes. That's five major muscles that you're now shortening and engaging. And start doing that every single day. Do it twice a day if it makes you feel good. But do it every single day. You do it for 6 seconds and you come down, you take a deep breath in, and then you exhale, and then you do it again. And, you know, instead of taking an aspirin or an Advil a day for your pain, start doing some muscle activation, because not only will you feel better, but you'll start to actually fix the reason why you're in pain to begin with.
Brilliant. Thank you for sharing this example. I want this episode to be relevant to people with type 2 diabetes. And, you know, managing diabetes is a crucial or a critical mm-hmm. concern for many. Our viewers and listeners are people with type 2 diabetes. How does your approach to muscle activation support diabetes management, and what benefits can people with type 2 diabetes expect to gain from practicing muscle activation? Maybe something like improving blood sugar levels or control, reducing stress, for example, and improving overall. This could be some of the benefits they might have.
Sure. I mean, two major problems that I see with people who are dealing with diabetes, and again, this is more of a general problems that I see more than a specific, but the two major problems that I see is, one is inflammation. You see a lot of people that are dealing with diabetes have a lot of inflammation in their bodies, and that, of course, is exacerbating so many issues. One of the really cool things that we've often seen in the muscle activation world is people who are dealing with autoimmune diseases, dealing with inflammatory diseases. Once we start to get the muscles working properly, the inflammatory process overall in the body dramatically decreases. Now, are there other things that cause inflammation? Sure. You mentioned decreasing sugar. I was mentioning that earlier. That's also important. There's other things, of course, to take into consideration. But getting the muscles to start working, and what I've seen, and this kind of comes to my second point, is that a lot of people that are dealing with diabetes tend to become lethargic. They stop moving. And a lot of them stop moving because it's painful to move. Their bodies just don't want to move too much. So the easier solution is just to stay, you know, more stagnant. And what I have found is a couple of things, but one, that doing muscle activation practices makes you feel more confident in your body again. You feel more that you're more inhabiting your body. I think one of the biggest compliments that I've heard from a lot of people is that they constantly tell me, my God, I feel like I'm in my body for the first time. And so as we start getting the muscles working, we feel more confident. We have a good word to use is trust. We trust our bodies. As I think a lot of us, when we're dealing with things like diabetes, autoimmune diseases, other things, we start to lose trust in our bodies. Going downstairs, for example, you know, or going, you know, navigating different terrain, and we start to go, oh my God, like the ground is changing and I don't have anything to stabilize myself. So we lose trust. And a lot of that is because our muscles just stop working properly. Our muscles are not contracting and contracting on demand. The result is that we fall, we injure ourselves, et cetera, et cetera. So I think those are the two biggest benefits. One is getting rid of or lowering inflammation dramatically, I would actually say. And then two is getting that confidence and having more trust in our body, but also feeling at home in our body. And as we start to feel at home in our body, with most people, there's a natural progression to want to do more, want to exercise more, and or want to move more. And so those are all really positive things for people who are dealing with diabetes.
Brilliant, brilliant. Thank you for sharing this information. I was thinking if there is a chance to touch a little bit about mobility and disability when it comes to muscle activation, especially for those who are struggling with health conditions such as diabetes or other conditions, maybe like kidney failure, heart disease, or something like that.
I think I'm just going to kind of go back to the same messaging that I was saying earlier, that immobility, the opposite of mobility, leads to disabilities. And you mentioned earlier back pain. Back pain, a lot of people don't know this, but back pain is actually the number one disability in the world. It gets, it kind of gets swept under the carpet, but so many people are dealing with this disability of back pain. And then, of course, people are dealing with other pains, hip pains and knee pains. And all of these things start to create a sort of disability, which then creates immobility. We become, again, stagnant. And that stagnation leads to a lack of trust and lack of confidence in our body, which then snowballs the whole problem. I've talked to numerous people over the last year who are dealing with this. You know, they got injured at 40, and then by 45, you know, they barely can move their bodies because they never dealt with that, the instability. They never dealt with the root cause of the disability. So if we look at the root causes of the disability of pertaining to back pain, getting those muscles working properly, improving that neuromuscular connection, which only can happen ultimately through muscle activation. I mean, you know, the other solution is that you just rest, but then rest leads to more stagnation. And so, you know, too much rest can be actually a bad thing. So we have to start to get that mobility happening again. And it happens through reinforcing that communication system between the brain and the muscles. And that's where muscle activation comes into it.
Brilliant. Thank you for sharing these great insights about mobility and disability. And when someone injured, especially someone 40 or over, you know, the when we age, if someone like 50 years old and injured, that can cause a big challenge for him, either to move or mm-hmm. to serve himself or herself. And you mentioned that resting is very important, but we cannot do it for a long time. It's like a balance. And this will take us to your book, which is, or the title called Stop Stretching. So your book explores a new approach to mastering the body and living pain-free. So can you share the main message and key takeaways from your book and how it complements your teaching philosophy?
Sure, thank you. So Stop Stretching, is people can find it on Amazon, and it's available. It's easy to access. It's on Kindle or paperback. And it addresses the root causes of why we're suffering pain in the body. It gives the solution, obviously, which is muscle activation. So that's kind of one part of it. The other part is, how do we start to activate those muscles? So earlier I was referring to the lower back, and I gave your listeners a muscle activation to begin practicing. It's one of the best poses that you can do. It's a great hack for so many things. And it can start to help. It can start to flip the script as we start to do that on our relationship to pain in the body. And I go through the major muscles of the body. So I just kind of gave like a few muscles, the glutes, the gluteus maximus, the longissimus, the multifidus. So these are major muscles, and a lot of people aren't aware of them and what they do and their importance. And so when we start to get those muscles activated, we begin to flip the script on our, you know, relationship to pain and our pain journey. And that's what the book endeavors to do. So I go through the seven muscle groups of the body. I know that there's, you know, biomechanically more than that. We categorize them differently, but for the sake of a yama. And one of the things that I endeavor to do is simplify learning for people, because, you know, learning anatomy can be very challenging for a lot of people. It requires memory work, and it requires, you know, you think about your grade five, teacher, biology teacher, teaching you anatomy, and you probably recall falling asleep in class. And so my book endeavors to make it fun, interesting, and experiential so that people actually, oh my God, like I can feel my back muscles shortening. And now I know I'm doing something good for myself. And so I go through the major muscles of the body and teach people how to begin accessing them and how to start getting them stronger.
Brilliant. Thank you for giving us an overview about your book, Stop Stretching. Is it in a digital format or paper?
Yeah, it's in digital as well as paper, so people can get both options.
Okay, brilliant. I have got another question for you before we finish this episode. What inspiring message or advice would you like to leave out with our viewers and listeners, specifically those who are struggling with type 2 diabetes?
Yeah, I first of all, before I say what I'm going to say, I just want to remind your listeners that I too have struggled a lot with chronic pain. You know, even before I ended up in the hospital, I dealt with chronic pain for years, all over my body in different places, sometimes two or three places at once. And so I understand what it's like to have to stay in bed for a month, and because it's too painful to move. And I just want to just say that we can flip the script on your pain journey. It doesn't have to be like that. We have the tools to get you up and running. All you need to do is say a big yes to this journey and take the big leap forward.
Brilliant. Thank you for sharing your inspiring message. How can people find you if they want to get in touch with you, learn more about you and what you do?
Yeah, thank you. The best way for people to access me, honestly, is just go to yogiaron.com, yogiaaron. And I'm sure you'll put that in the show notes. And just kind of go there. I have ways for people to start accessing what I'm doing right away. And they can start to access, you know, their own pain journey and how to get out of pain. So I have different free things for people to, you know, access. Are they, if they have back pain, knee pain, hip pain, neck and shoulder pain, and they can start to get the resources that they need to get out of pain right away.
Thank you for sharing your contact information. Just about your website, I'm not sure if you have a training course, I mean, video-based.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have?
Yeah, most of what I offer is video-based. I have a lot of online courses and trainings. I have a lot of videos on my YouTube channel. If people really want to learn more and learn the secret sauce, if you want to say that, to stay out of pain, they can do my Yama certification course. And the certification course is for people who are just like your listeners. Maybe they're just regular people and they just want to learn more about their bodies. It's my heart and soul is in that course, and it takes people on a really important journey of their body to learn how their body works and how to live their best pain-free life.
Brilliant. So you help people from different levels, either beginner or professional.
Yes. Brilliant. Yes. And I teach people who either just want to help themselves, and I also teach people who want to help others.
Okay, very interesting. Thank you for sharing that as well. Is there anything else you want to say before we wrap up this episode?
No, I just reinforce what I said earlier, that we don't have to live in pain. And I just want to invite people to choose to flip the script in their own pain journey of their life. And they can live their best life.
Brilliant. Very interesting episode. I learned a lot. So first and foremost, I would like to express my sincere gratitude for our amazing guest, Yogi Aaron, for generously sharing his time, expertise, and knowledge and insights with us today. Your contribution has truly elevated this episode, and I deeply appreciate your information you have provided. I want also to thank every one of you, our dedicated viewers and listeners, for being a part of this episode. If you are looking for additional assistance on your health journey, I encourage you to book a discovery call with me at oneness-impact.org. During this call, we can discuss your needs and explore how I can provide a personalized assistance while addressing any questions you may have. If you found this episode valuable and insightful, I invite you to join our community of people committed to thriving with diabetes. To stay up to date for upcoming episodes, empowering discussions, and practical tips, make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. For those who prefer other platforms such as Spotify, you can follow the Thriving with Diabetes podcast. Once again, thank you, Yogi, for being our guest today. Thank you, everyone, for being a part of this insightful journey. Until next time, take care of your health and keep thriving.